I wonder, what is the cost of staying in your comfort zone? See, there was a man named Thomas who lived his entire life in this small town, and he was known for being kind, faithful, and dependable. He worked the same job for 40 years. He went to church every Sunday and never caused any issues, never caused any problems. And he was known for being respected and loved and kind. Well, towards the end of Thomas's life, he began to journal, and there was one journal entry that stood out. He wrote, "I had dreams when I was younger. I felt God nudging me to start a shelter, to go on a missions trip, to speak up in my small group, to help broken families. But every time the moment came, I told myself I wasn't ready, that it wasn't the right time, that someone else would step up. I stayed safe, and I stayed comfortable. And now, the moments are gone. See, I didn't intentionally do anything wrong, but I missed out by doing nothing." After writing this, he wrote a Bible passage from Matthew 14, and Matthew 14 is the story where Peter steps out of the boat and walks on the water. And after writing that, he finishes his journal entry by writing, "I thought staying in the boat would save me, but I never got a walk on the water." What is the cost of staying in your comfort zone? See, in our series, Unlearning Religion, we're talking about what is a relationship with Jesus look like? See, unlearning religion, we want to unlearn man-made religion and learn what does it mean to follow Jesus in our day-to-day life. And what we're going to talk about today is we're talking about a relationship with Jesus is countercultural. See, the culture that we live in today is kind of speaking out of both sides of their mouth. Like in one sense, they say, prove your faith, prove your relationship with Jesus by how you live. We should be some of the most kind, loving, and tolerant people. But then in the next breath, they say, we want you to show the love of Jesus, but we don't want you to talk about him. Like it should stop at your actions. And none of this really surprised Jesus. See, Jesus, so in Matthew 14 is the story of Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. Two chapters later, Jesus is talking about building his church and using his church to change the world. And when he's talking about changing the world, he gets to this place where he's saying, hey, you're going to be followers of me in a world completely opposed to the things of God. And in Matthew 16, verse 24, this is what Jesus says. Then he turns to his disciples and he says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your own soul? Here we see that Jesus is saying, if you want to be a follower of me, it's going to require you to step out of your comfort zone because the world was never changed from a comfort zone. The world was never changed from a comfort zone. In fact, today's message is going to be choosing courage over comfort. We're to choose courage over comfort. And when I think of somebody who chose courage over comfort, I can't think of anybody better than Jesus. See, when we think about Jesus in his life, when we look at him, he's one of the greatest examples of stepping out of his comfort zone. And John 1, the beginning of John, John is telling us who Jesus is and where he came from. And in John chapter 1, verse 10, this is what he tells us about Jesus. He writes, he, Jesus, he came into the very world that he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. Now, I want to stop here because he came into the very world he created. So if he came into the world that he created, where did he come from? He came from heaven. He didn't just come from heaven. He came from being seated at the right hand of the Father. Like you talk about a comfort zone. You talk about a place that you wouldn't want to leave. He left heaven. He left heaven to come down to live and to do life with people that were going to reject him and turn their backs on him. Why would you want to leave that? Why would you want to leave heaven for this? John tells us why. He goes on in verse 12. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. See, they are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And so the Word, Jesus, the Word became human and made his home among us. And he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Why did Jesus leave the comfort zone of heaven to come to earth? Because the world was never going to be changed from a comfort zone. See, people would never be saved unless Jesus became human and lived his life with the very people who were going to betray him, to show them forgiveness, to show them that unfailing love. And that's what he did. He did this. Jesus chose courage over comfort. And we saw that all the way up to even to the point of the cross. At the very moment where it became possible for human beings to be saved from their sin and brought into not a set of man-made religion and rules and regulations, but to be brought into a life-giving, life-changing, and eternity-impacting relationship with Jesus Christ. He chose courage over comfort. Courage is really just faith in action. It's doing the right thing and taking the step that's right despite whatever may happen on the other side of that decision. See, when I think about choosing courage over comfort, I think about my mom, right? It's Mother's Day. I want to say happy Mother's Day to you in the room. I've got some pretty great grandparents. I've got an awesome mom, mother-in-law, my wife, Carissa. She's awesome. I'm married way out of my league. But true, it's true. I think she's here. I'll still say it next service when she's not. But when I think about choosing courage over comfort, I think about my mom. See, I was, if you know anything about her, she's one of the most kind, loving, and compassionate people you'll ever meet, right? She's very much not, she doesn't choose confrontation, right? That's not her first go-to. She was like, I was one of the best for you kids, and I want what's best for you, even when you're going through hard times. And when I was 19, I was going through one of the hardest times of my life. Like, all my plans in life had been completely upended. And not only were they upended, but nothing was, like, working out. Nothing was happening. I couldn't seem to get, like, any traction in life. So I was living at home. I wasn't working. And I was slipping into depression. Like, I was, like, at, like, one of the lowest points in my life. And my mom took a step out of her comfort zone. And at 7 o'clock on a Monday morning, she walks into my room and says, Aaron, I love you. And I want what's best for you. You need to get up. You need to get a job, and you need to invest yourself. Now, at 7 o'clock in the morning when you're slipping into depression and things aren't going well, like, that's not what you want to hear, right? That's not, like, what you want to hear, but that was exactly what I needed to hear in the moment. And it was that decision when my mom chose to step out of her comfort zone and to choose courage over comfort and tell me the thing that I needed to hear in that very moment, that was a major turning point in my life. I got up, I went, and I applied, I got a job. Shortly after that, I started working out again, just trying to get healthy. And then, a month and a half later, after she came in and had that hard conversation, I decided, I felt challenged and moved to get involved with a prison ministry here in town. Now, was I ready for something like that? I really wasn't, but it was like, okay, man, it was my mom's decision to choose courage over comfort that inspired me to take a step of courage. Now, what was awesome about joining that jail ministry, I was part of a team, but over the course of the 8 months that we were there, the group saw men give their life to Jesus Christ, right? We saw men make courageous decisions to say, I'm going to leave this life that I had once lived. I'm going to choose the hard. I'm going to take the hard steps. I'm going to choose a new friend group. I'm going to choose a new way of life. I'm going to leave behind the past family bondage and the things that have, like, been true about our family and our history. It's going to stop here, and I'm going to choose to walk in the power of God. Like, we saw some pretty amazing things. Guys' lives were changed. And when I think about that, it was absolutely a move of God. All right, these men were making courageous decisions. But when I think about this, there are men that are going to be in eternity because of my mom chose to take a step out of her comfort zone. She chose courage over comfort, and she had the hard conversation. And God used that to impact me and to impact this team and eventually impact these men's eternity. Because the world is never going to be changed from a comfort zone. We get to this point, we think about this, but I want to ask you the question. So this is part of my story, but I want to ask you, what if God, or what if you chose courage over comfort? Like, what are the places that God has put you in? Like, how could God use you to impact people's eternities? Like, what if God is leading you out of your comfort zone and to choose courage over comfort? See, our community and our world, they're looking for hope. And we have the greatest story of hope, the greatest story of unfailing love. And this world is longing for that. But it requires a decision of every single one of us. Am I willing to choose courage over comfort? Because courage is faith in action. Are you willing to walk and to live out your faith? See, Jesus, he chose courage over comfort. But as he invites us into that relationship, he's not just modeling it. He's encouraging and he's empowering his followers, his disciples, to also choose courage over comfort. Jesus is going to change the world by the power of the Spirit through the church. And that's us. So we move to the church and we see, where did this all begin? Where did this start? We go to Acts 1:8. See, in Acts 1:8, this is Jesus. These are Jesus' final words before he goes back to heaven, before he goes back to the right hand of the Father. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So shortly after this, so Jesus tells them what's going to happen. This is a promise. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what do we know about God's promises? When God makes a promise, that's what happens. God made the promise. You will receive this. So this group of people, they're sitting in an upstairs room waiting for the promise of God to come to fruition. And as they're sitting up there, guess what happens? The Spirit of God comes, and the power and the presence of God is in their midst, and they're sitting there. They're having conversations with people around the world. They're talking. They're understanding each other. There is this perfect, this good relational harmony. There's this unity that hasn't really been seen up to this point. They are sitting in the power and the presence of God. Talk about a comfort zone. This is amazing. Like, they're sitting upstairs in the presence of God. God is now living inside of the children of God. Like, when you talk about a comfort zone, there is no way. Like, why would you want to leave that? But the world was never going to be changed from a comfort zone. The world was never going to be changed from the upper room. These people who received the power of God, the message of God, the truth about a transforming relationship with Jesus Christ, they left the upper room and they went into Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. And thank goodness they did, because the gospel, the good news that Jesus saved, has reached us here today in Warsaw, Indiana. And Jesus, the truth and the message about Jesus is still changing lives today. Because people chose courage over comfort. Well, what if God is inviting us to choose courage over comfort? And you say, this is a hard message. This is something that seems difficult. And when we talk about choosing courage over comfort, there's a lot of barriers that we could talk about. There's a lot of things that can stand in between us staying in our comfort zone and choosing courage. But I think the thing that is our greatest hindrance is fear. Like, fear is the greatest thing. I know for me, that's the biggest thing. It's like the fear of what's going to happen on the other side of taking the courageous step. But what do we know is what is true about the children of God? The children of God, when Jesus saves us, he gives us the Holy Spirit. And what is true about the Spirit of God? The Spirit that God gave us is not a spirit of fear, but is a power of love and of self-control. So if you and I, like, fear is the greatest barrier, but in that moment where we're wrestling between staying in our comfort zone and choosing courage, to take a step of courage, we have to identify. When fear steps in, we have to realize fear is not part of our identity, but fear is an intruder. And fear is a tactic of the enemy to try to keep us from living out our faith and taking that step of courage and seeing God on the move, at work, in our day, here and now. So when fear creeps in, we have to ask the question, what does love require of me in this moment? Because the relationship with Jesus, who is Jesus? He's full of unfailing love. And his heart is for people to become children of God, to save them and to bring them into that life-giving relationship. So what does the love of Jesus require of me in this moment? Is it to stay in the comfort zone, or is it to take a step of faith, to take a step of courage, to choose courage over comfort, and to see God work and move in ways that we could maybe never imagine him working and moving? But it takes making the decision to choose courage over comfort, because the world is never going to be changed from a comfort zone. So how do we do this? What does it look like? What does it mean to choose courage over comfort? I think, to get real practical here, I think there's a 10-second window from the moment you feel like God is leading you, from the moment you feel like God is leading you to do something, and you're wrestling with this, choosing, am I going to stay in my comfort zone, or am I going to choose to take a step of faith? Am I going to choose courage over comfort? It takes 10 seconds. If you don't take that step within 10 seconds, that 10 seconds of courage, we may not ever take that step. All right, we may miss the moment. The moment may pass us. It may pass us up. You say, what does that look like? How does that play out in the day-to-day life? Well, I was thinking about this. I want to give us 10 things. What are 10 things that you can do in 10 seconds? This isn't an exhaustive list. This isn't include every single thing that you, every single courageous step or courageous act that you and I could take. But these are 10 things to maybe get your mind going. You're smart, and I think you could take these things and apply it to your context. So what are 10 things that you can do in 10 seconds? So you can pause and pray for wisdom and courage. So the moment you feel like God is leading you to do something, you can pause and pray, God, give me the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to take the step. Number two, you can pause and text somebody that God puts on your mind. You don't have to know why God put them on your mind, right? He could put them on your mind or your heart, and you'd be like, I have no idea what's going on. Like, why in the world? Or why is it 2 a.m. and I'm waking up and this one person's on my mind? You can pause and text them. It doesn't have to be a weird text. It doesn't have to be a churchy text. It doesn't have to be anything. It could be as simple as saying, hey, God has put you on my mind. I wanted to reach out. Or it could be, I was thinking about you, and I wanted to reach out, see how you're doing. Just checking in, hope you're doing well. It could be that simple. You could be in a heated conversation, and think when you realize that you're wrong, you can pause and you could say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? It takes courage to do that. Number four, you can make a decision and choose to serve. Right? Maybe God's been putting on your heart for a while, but it's like, man, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy. You could choose to step out of the comfort zone and say, I'm gonna take a step of courage and I wanna see God use me in different ways. You can make the decision to choose to serve. You could decide to quit a toxic habit. You can compliment someone and add value to their day. You can take your teenager out and have a conversation about what does it mean to follow Jesus as a student in middle school, high school, and college. You can see how many push-ups you can do in 10 seconds. You can look at yourself without judgment in the mirror. Take 10 seconds, look at yourself, and see yourself the way that God sees you, which is without judgment. You can invite a friend to church next week, or you can respond to God's invitation to salvation. You say, I've been thinking about Jesus for a while. I've been hearing about the message of Jesus. I've been hearing about the story of Jesus. I've been hearing about how he can change lives, but I've got questions. I've got hesitations. I've got things that are keeping me back from saying yes. And the thing about faith, the thing about choosing courage over comfort is to say, when you follow Jesus, when you enter into that relationship with Jesus, you don't have to have all the answers to say yes to Jesus. You don't have to have your life completely cleaned up to say yes to Jesus. You don't have to get right before you come to him. You don't have to go to church for a year before you say yes to Jesus. You could say yes to Jesus today. But when we share Jesus, we're not just sharing a set of man-made rules and religion. We are sharing and inviting people into a relationship with the God of the universe, the one who wants to be known and the one who wants to know us. He knows us because he created us, and he wants us to become children of God. When I think about people taking a step of courage, I think about a little girl named Amelia. Now, when I talk about Amelia, right now, she might actually be downstairs in sunlight. But 2 years ago, Amelia decided to take a step of courage and get baptized. And when she got baptized, she was only 6 years old. Right? She was 6 years old, and she gave her life to Jesus. And she said, you know what? I'm going to take this step of courage, and I'm going to go public with my faith. See, my faith is a relationship between me and Jesus, but it's personal. It was a personal decision that was never meant to stay private. Right? I want to go public with my faith. And so here's what we do. Actually, we found this clip of Amelia getting baptized 2 years ago. So let's take a look.
Christ died on the cross for your sins. That he was buried and rose again on the third day.
Yes.
If you accept him as your personal Savior, then your mom and dad are going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Man, I love our baptism services, and I love seeing people take steps of courage to say, I want to go public with my faith. So Amelia gets baptized when she's six. We fast forward 2 years to this school year. I talked to Amelia's mom about her story. And she said this year, at the beginning of this school year, Amelia felt like God was leading her to become friends with this other student. Now, as I was talking to Amelia's mom is a teacher at this school, and she said, this student comes from a difficult background. She comes from a background filled with trauma and hardship and heartache. And Amelia has no idea what life this friend had. It was God who was leading her to be friends with this girl. So over the course of this last school year, Amelia started out, she started giving her stickers of like little encouraging notes and little things to just encourage her and brighten her day. And then as she was giving her these stickers, she realized that this girl was taking these stickers and putting them on her folder. And then as the school year was going on, Amelia was like, hey, I'm going to invite this girl into our friend group. So she invites this girl into their friend group, and she just starts showing her the love of Jesus. And this friend group has about seven other girls in it. And she said, hey, here's what we're going to do. Let's show her. She did this on her own. Let's show her the love of Jesus, and let's tell her about our faith, about what Jesus can do for her. So as the school year is going on, she is sharing her faith. She invites her friend to know who Jesus is. She's not just showing her the love of Jesus, she's sharing Jesus with her. And as the school year goes on, Amelia is going to sunlight. She's going to sunlight. She's getting the Bible verses, the memory verses. And as she's hearing these memory verses, she's not just learning the memory verses to get a candy prize downstairs. She's learning these verses and thinking, man, this could be an encouragement to my friend. She has no idea about her home situation or background. But God is using Amelia to step into a space and to share the life-changing relationship with Jesus. And here's the thing, we don't know how this story is gonna end, but God is using Amelia, a child, an 8-year-old child, to share his son, the good news that his son saves, with another child, so that hopefully one day this other child can become a child of God. That Jesus could change her life, rewrite her story, set her on a new path. Hey, that your past and your history, your upbringing doesn't have to be your future. But that the power and the presence of the Spirit of God can come in and radically change your life. He can turn your life around. He can set you free from addiction. He can set you free from bondage. He can put his name on your heart and his Spirit in your life to walk forward in the life-changing power of God. And he's using Amelia to do it. And when I think about this, I think, man, the world is never gonna be changed from a comfort zone. This is how lives are changed, when people take a step from their comfort zone and choose courage over comfort. But as I think about Amelia's story, I can't help but think of this question. Man, what is the cost of staying in your comfort zone? And in the relationships that we're with, the people that God has put us in relationship with, man, what is the cost of staying in our comfort zone? See, when you choose those 10 seconds of courage, that 10 seconds of courage is gonna challenge your comfort zone, but it could change somebody's eternity. God could use that act of faith to meet that person where they are and to radically transform their life. And so as the band plays this next song, I want us to reflect on that. Where might God be leading you to choose courage over comfort? Who are the people that he's put in your life that he wants to make children of God, and he wants to use you to do it? What is the cost of staying in your comfort zone, but where might God be leading you to choose courage over comfort? Man, the power and the presence of God that we just encountered today, he is here, but guess what? He's gonna go with us wherever we go. So we don't have to walk in fear, but man, we can walk in courage and in power and love and in self-control, because that's the Spirit that God has given us. And if you're here today and you're worshiping with us and you say, man, I would love to discover what a relationship with Jesus is, and you haven't taken that step, we would love to talk with you. You could stop by the Info Center. I'd love to talk with you down here. But we're so glad you're here and worshiping with us. Have a happy Mother's Day. Have a great week.